Hallelujah. Glory to His name. He likes it when we worship Him. Amen. I like it when my children love me and Caleb tells me how good I am at something, or just, I like that, right? You hear it from your kids, and God likes to hear that from His kids. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Father, we love You so much. Lord, I said it Sunday, I'll say it again. I'm smitten with You. I'm absolutely head over heels for You. Father, I am in love with You. You are so, so good. You are wonderful and mighty. Father, Your love and Your mercy endureth forever. Father, we rest in Your love. We rest in the fact of Your mercy and Your unchangeableness. Father, You stay the same. We thank You, Father. We worship You tonight. Now, Lord, it was 80 degrees on the way here. Nicest day, the last 2 days that we've had in all of 2018 so far. And people have come out to hear from You. There's no doubt there's things that we could be doing. Recreation, we could be enjoying work that could be getting done. But Father, people have come to hear from You. Lord, You don't look at it as a light thing. So I thank You they're going to walk out of here with something. You're going to speak to them, Father, and give them help right where they're at. Direction, insight, revelation, encouragement, instruction, and correction if need be. And we welcome it all. We say, be God in this place. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm excited about this message. Lord, no series, just a random standalone message. You could make a series out of anything. But I shared it last night in Olean. I'll say this before I get started. This is one of those sermons that is a principle that if you'll get it into your life and remember it and meditate on it and become proficient in it, it'll save you a lot of heartache. It'll save you a lot of trouble. It'll save you a lot of wasted time, a lot of wasted money, save you a lot of aggravation and frustration. And it might be a sermon that right now in your life you need. And if it is, praise God, it'll help you. But if it's a sermon that you don't need right now, get it in your heart because you will need this. And it will absolutely change your life. So let's get going with it. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Says this, we look at this verse a lot around here. I preach out of this a lot. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct or lead or guide your paths. Now, I read that verse and I get encouraged that the God of the universe, the God that has demonstrated to the world and to me personally and to you personally that He's loving, merciful, that He's for you more than anybody on earth. You think of the person that's in your corner the most, God trumps that. He wants it for you more. Praise God. When I think about that God who's demonstrated His goodness, who's demonstrated His mercy, and then on top of it all, He's a know-it-all. God is the very definition of a know-it-all. He knows it all. He's the wisest, the smartest, the most righteous ever. He sees the beginning from the end. He's never caught off guard. He's never surprised. He's never shocked. When I think about that God, who not only loves me and cares for me, He's in my corner, but He's the smartest, the wisest, the all-knowing, knows the beginning from the end. He's already been to my future and back, already been to your future and back. When I think that He is endeavoring to lead me, that encourages me. He wants to direct your paths. Well, if He's loving, merciful, kind, and smart, and wise, the only paths He wants to take you down are good ones. The only paths He wants to take you down with your finances are increase. And with your family increase and in your job and in your life. He wants to see you blessed. We know that. So, if that's the case, if God is saying, I'm willing to lead you and to take you into everything you need to go into and direct all your paths, it would do us good to become proficient and get it down in our heart and renew our minds to how God leads. Because if God is saying, I'm willing and I can, then our next question would be, well, then how's he going to do it? Well, God wouldn't tell us, I'm willing to do it, and then not show us the how. If God shows us the how, we better find out how. We can endeavor to be led by him, but if we don't do it the way he does it, we won't be led by him. Amen. And in verse 5, it gives us a little bit of a key, and then we'll go to another verse. It says, trust in the Lord. That trust is that how he can direct your paths. When you're going this way and he says, no, go the other way, and you don't want to go the other way, but if you'll trust him, he'll direct your paths. Amen? You want to do something with your money, but it's not working out, and God says, do this with your money, that's where the trust comes in. Like we said on Sunday, being a doer of the word. The reason why a lot of people don't do the word is they don't trust him. So we trust in him, and he'll direct our paths. But it says, how do we trust in him? Well, trust in him not with our emotions, not with our feelings, not with our thoughts. Trust in the Lord with our heart. Amen. Well, Proverbs 20 in verse 27 even sheds a little bit more light on that verse of trusting him with our heart. Because what does that mean? To trust you with our heart, Lord. Well, in 20 verse 27 of Proverbs, it says, the spirit of man. Did you know that you are a spirit being? You might look in the mirror and not see the spirit. You might look in the mirror and see the natural or feel the natural, but you're more spirit than you are natural. The Bible says the inward man, which is the spirit man, is being renewed day by day, while the outward man perisheth. Why? As we get older, we age in our bodies, see it in our faces, you see it in our hair, you can feel it, you know, you're not the same. You know, I remember playing football a few years ago with some young guys from another church, and I walked away thinking, things are different now. And I woke up the next day really feeling like things were different than they used to be. Why? The outward man perisheth. But the inward man is being renewed day by day. Why? Because that inward man's going to live forever. So, what does he say here? He says, the spirit of man, notice this, is the candle of the Lord. So the Bible says, and I know why they used candle back then, because they didn't have flashlights and things like that. He says, what is a candle? Well, we know what a candle is used back then. You know, I don't know if this is this way for you growing up, but I loved when the power would go out. And as a kid, you know, maybe as an adult, you don't enjoy it so much as inconvenience, but as a kid, it's like an event. It's cool. Mom gets the matches out and finds the candles and you light them. It's, I don't know, why is that cool for a kid? It's cool. There's something cool about it. But what does that candle do? That candle lights the way. That candle keeps people from tripping over one another. That candle keeps people from falling down the stairs. That candle keeps people from bumping into things unnecessarily. It keeps you from getting injured. Keeps you from hurting yourself. Keeps you from going to the wrong place. It when you need to go to the bathroom, the candle tells you where it's at. It takes you where you need to go. Well, God is saying that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So what he's saying, just like a candle is used to guide and direct when you can't see and when you don't know where to go, the same way he said, the way I'm going to guide, the way I'm going to lead, the way I'm going to direct is by your spirit. The same way a candle is used, your spirit is used. And it goes on a little more in this verse to explain more about it. It says, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Well, didn't he say, trust in the Lord with all your heart? The belly region, the center of man. So the spirit of man, and the Holy Ghost dwells on the inside with our spirit, is right in the center of man. And God is saying, like a candle is used to guide and direct, that's how I'm going to guide and direct you, the spirit. Trust with the heart, or with the spirit. Well, the New Testament even shines more light. Go to Romans 8 and verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. Praise the Lord. says, for as many as are led. There's that word led. You could say, you could interchange the word led with direct, with guide, right? To lead, to guide, to direct. He says, for as many as are led, or many as are directed, or many as are guided by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God tells us in the New Testament, lining up with the Old Testament, the way I'm going to lead you, the way I'm going to guide you. Now let me tell you something. It is in your best interest for God to guide you. Amen. How do I know? I talk to people. People are in situations and tough things. They need to get out. Well, God has the answer to get out of that. There's nothing on earth that you're facing that is too big, too hard, too challenging, too confusing, too difficult for your God. It's simple. If we can get His take on it, and if we'll trust in what He says to do, the path will get made clear and will be directed into the right way. And He says, the way I'm going to do that, that's why we got to become proficient. He said, I'm doing it trusting in your heart. The spirit of man is the candle, and for as many as are led by the Spirit. Now, without taking time to turn there, we are a spirit. When we got born again, our spirit became brand new. But the Holy Ghost also moved in on the inside of us. And the way it works is the Bible says that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. What the Spirit of God does, it tells us over there in John 16, is that the Spirit of God hears from heaven. So let's say we're praying, seeking God on what to do. Well, the Holy Ghost will hear the answer from God, and then the Holy Ghost will relay the information to our spirit, and then God will lead us that way. Amen. So God is not leading. Now you need to get this, because this is where most Christians live their lives. God is not leading by emotions. God is not leading by feelings. God is not leading by a paycheck, a salary amount. God is not leading by geography. He's just not. He's not leading by a job. He's not leading by goosebumps. He's not leading by tears. He's not leading by a family member. He's not leading by your thoughts. God is leading and guiding, directing people by the Spirit. Anytime you make decisions based on fear, anxiety, pressure, guilt, frustration, anger, anytime you make a decision based on those things, God's not in it. That's not how He's leading. He's leading by the Spirit of God. So, praise God, we got to get proficient in learning to be led by the Spirit of God. Because what happens is life can throw, let's use examples of the children of Israel. God said they could have something, but when they got there, it looked awfully challenging and hard, and you'd be tempted to think, Lord, did you really give this to us? You said this was your plan, but then I walked into the plan and all hell broke loose. Well, if you're led by emotions and you're led by feelings, you'll check out of that thing too soon. And God said it, but then a tough time happened and you checked out. Wait a minute, I thought God said it. What about when Paul, over there in Acts chapter 16, had a vision to go over into Macedonia? And he goes over into Macedonia, and he gets over in there, and he casts the devil out of a girl. And that girl that had the devil cast out of her, her masters, you know, she was a slave, and she was able to tell fortunes. And when the devil was cast out of her, she was no longer able to do that. Well, that made her master mad. And they beat Paul and Silas to a pulp, stripped them naked, threw them in prison. Well, God told them to go over there, and now they're in prison. And the temptation, if you're not led by the Holy Ghost, would be, God, I thought God was in it. But then things got hard. God must be out of it, so I'm getting out of this thing. No. Amen. I know what that's like because I went to Rhema. Hell on earth broke out for me. God told me to go to Rhema. And I did, and financially and physically were some of the toughest times of my life personally. But thank God, I knew better at the time. I didn't know much, but I knew what God's plan was for me. And I didn't let emotion. I didn't let feelings. I didn't let thoughts, I didn't let circumstances guide me, which I've been guilty of, and I'll probably tell myself a bunch tonight, I've been guilty of doing that many times, and it always gets you in trouble, because that's where most people live. They never take the time to learn to become proficient. God is offering us to be led, but circumstance and emotion and feelings and situations become so strong, and people check out of what God's doing and check into their emotions. Never does God lead by those things. So, if that's how God's doing, and if I tell you God leads by the Spirit, you say, well, how does He do that? Are you ready to find out? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. He loves us tonight. Praise God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. So if God's leading by the Spirit, how's He going to lead us? What does that mean? Well, how's He going to do it? Well, the Bible tells us He has all the answers for us. Verse 15 says, and let the peace of God. Everybody say, the peace of God. Here it is now. Rule in your where? What are you supposed to trust God with? Your heart. What are you supposed to be led by? Your heart, your spirit. Amen? Let the peace of God rule. That means have authority in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. I'm going to look at a different translation of that verse in a second, but go with me real quick, and you can hold your place here because we will come back to it eventually. Or just put your little ribbon in there or whatever you want to do. I'm not your boss. However you want to do it, you do it. I just suggested some things. Go to Isaiah 55 and verse 12. Isaiah 55 and verse 12. So he says, let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God have authority in your hearts. For you shall go out with joy and be, what's that word? Led. Well, what are we talking about tonight? Guided, directed, and led by God. He told us in that first portion of Proverbs 3 that I want to direct. I want to guide. I want to lead you into the paths that I have for you. Well, how are you going to be led? Be led forth with what? Peace. God is saying to us, the way I'm going to lead you, the primary way I'm going to lead you is through peace. Now let me talk a little bit about peace. The reason why peace gets overlooked, and that peace is not usually enough for people to make decisions and to go on, is because peace is not very spectacular. It's very supernatural, but it's not very spectacular. What do I mean? Well, we all, at least I'm guilty of it, so I guess I don't want to lump you into that category, but I'm assuming you've been there. When we've had big decisions looming over us or things we're facing and, you know, life decisions and not knowing what to do and where to go and should we or shouldn't we, you know, we're weighing these things. We would love an angel to show up. We would love Jesus to show up. We would love to hear a voice. We would love for Pastor to supernaturally call us up and give us a word. We'd love for Reverend Greer to call us up and give us direction in our lives. We would love something more spectacular because the spectacular appeases the flesh and the mind. And the flesh and the mind, and you're going to see, because I'm going to help you at the end of this, how to be led with peace. The flesh and the mind love the fireworks. And because the flesh and the mind love the fireworks and the action, it's suppressing the voice that you should be hearing from, and people aren't hearing from it, and they're just making decisions based on emotion and not of their thoughts. 1 Kings chapter 19 tells us something very interesting. 1 Kings 19 in verse 11. 1 Kings 19, 11. Again, I'll say this, and hopefully I'm going to give you a preemptive request to this joke, I'm expecting more laughter than last time for this joke. But be careful flipping to 1 Kings that you don't get a paper cut because your pages are so sharp in 1 Kings. Because that means you don't read 1 Kings a lot. That's what it means, for those of you that don't understand. But some of you, man, you probably, I know there's some of you probably just live in 1 Kings. I mean, this is your book. So I apologize to those people. But 1 Kings 19 and verse 11 says, "And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent or tore the mountains and broke in pieces." Now, I got to stop because I got to say this. If I'd have known this stuff when I was younger. I'm telling you, young people, get this now. And if you say, "I'm not a young person, Pastor Mike, what do? Get this now. Because the rest of your days can be led into great things. I can't stress this enough. This is one of the most vital things for a Christian to learn. How to be directed by God. People always want answers from God. Well, I'm telling you how to be led by Him here. A great strong wind rent the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. What are we talking about? The spectacular. The light show. Smoke and light show. But after that, an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. I mean, we got it all. Lots going on to appease the flesh. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a still, small voice. And that was God. The still, small voice. The still, small voice doesn't sound very spectacular. But it's very supernatural. Now, before I go on to explain how to be proficient in following peace in the still small voice, because that's how God speaks to you, go with me real quick to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. I want to explain to you a principle, because we want the dramatic visitations. Our flesh does. I should say, maybe you're not, the root of you is not desiring that, because you shouldn't desire those things. I heard Pastor Nancy say it this way, and this could be the theme, probably be the title on live stream. Peace is enough. Amen. Our flesh and our mind wants the spectacular, but God is saying, I supernaturally will lead you through this life. The God of heaven lead you. I'll do it through peace. Peace is enough. And it says here in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18, "This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went before on thee." So he's saying, he's bringing up the prophecies that were spoken to Timothy. Now, for those of you that don't understand what he's talking about when Paul, other ministers, or whoever it was, had prophesied over Timothy. You know what I'm talking about, calling someone up and giving them a word. Is that biblical? Yes, it is. And we, you know, at times, I'm just saying, I've been guilty of this. Well, being, I remember, well, this didn't happen too long ago. I can't remember where I was, what meeting I was in. Everybody else in the line got a word, and I just got my hands laid on me. And there was a temptation for your flesh and your mind to be disappointed. Anybody ever been there? Pastor's giving out words to people and people are being blessed and you go home, pastor never called you up, and there's a temptation to think, right? Or am I the only carnal bucket in the room? Y'all got your membership cards at the Carnal Bucket Club? That's carnal bucket stuff. What do I mean by carnal bucket? Carnal, fleshly. Your flesh wants to be appeased. Well, he's talking about these prophecies and they're real and good. But he says, "These charge I commit unto you, Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before you, that you by them..." by those prophecies would be able to wage a good warfare. What's he saying? Special words are given for battle preparation. That when you get these things in dramatic words and dramatic visitations, usually, I know in my case it's been true, I know in Brother Hagin's case, I know in Pastor Michael's, I know in Pastor Nancy's, that what they've prophesied or what they've testified, I should say, when you get a dramatic word, yes, it's great to hear from heaven, but it's usually to anchor you in time of the war and the battle that you're about to go through. My whole life was shaped in spiritual things by obeying God and going to Rhema. But when I got to Rhema as a young believer and not developed, and I'm still not even close to where I need to be, but I'm farther along now than I was then, I'm a baby in the faith, I'm obeying God as much as I know how, and hell's breaking loose around me. And I attempted many times to rush back home. Depressed, lonely, broke, sick, you know, just not enjoying myself. It's the fall semester, and usually I'm hunting in the fall, and Oklahoma just wasn't the same, you know, and just wanting to come home. Homesick, you know. But I had a word in a service at Pastor Michael's church where I heard an audible voice. Now, I say the audible voice of God. I don't know if it was an angel, if it was Jesus or God. I'll have to wait and get there and remember what it sounded like. Because he didn't say, hey, this is God, go to Rhema. I just heard, because I had been seeking God what to do. Remember, I had threw my hands up in my truck and said, Father, I'll go to Africa. Fine, I'll go. And I'm looking for direction. I don't know what to do with my life. And then I got it. Well, that's a dramatic word. Now, most of the things in my life have not been dramatic words. But that one was necessary because that word anchored me. I knew no matter what was going on in my body, no matter what was going on in my finances, no matter what was going on in my circumstances, I was supposed to be there. Now, we think of people like Brother Hagin, and we read books like I Believe in Visions, and we hear of his stories, and condensed in that book, you know, there's a lifetime of visions and revelations. We think, my God, that's how he was led all the time. No, Brother Hagin would tell you himself. The way God led him the majority of time was not through a visitation, was not through an angel, it was through the peace of God. But when Brother Hagin got those dramatic visitations and things, part of it is because of where he was in the body of Christ and the hell he had to go through to get us those books and those churches and the ministers and all those things that anchored his soul. Amen. And Paul tells us this right here. He said, Timothy, you hold on to those words because hell on earth's coming in a battle, and those words that you get are going to help you and anchor you. So if you don't get a word, you ought to be shouting and praying for the ones that do. Because I'm telling you, I've got things spoken in my life over me at times. And I'll tell you what, it was exciting to hear some things, but it was like, gear up, get ready. It's a tool for battle. So we have to get out of this carnal stage of, oh, I hope he calls me up. If Jesus would just appear to me and tell me, if Pastor would just call me up and pray for me, we got to get out of that. I'm not saying you are desiring that, but I'm just saying the flesh, that's what the flesh wants to do. I know mine does. I'm in a meeting with my pastor, and he stands in the office of the apostle and prophet, and my flesh is saying, man, come on, tell me everything. I mean, I go out to lunch with Pastor Michael and say, what do you know? I say, about what? I say, about me, about my future. He say, Pastor, if I tell you, you won't pray. Oh, that's good. But then he tells me even something, and he tells you how it spiritually is. He says, Pastor Mike, the truth is, I don't know very much. I only know what God has shown me. He goes, I'm surprised at how little God shows me about people. And it's the same for me. I'm surprised when God does show me something because about somebody's life. It's very rare to show me something specific. You know, if there's danger involved, things, you know, like that, he will, but a lot of times, I don't know what the heck's going on in your life. I don't know what you ate for dinner tonight. Or what kind of ice cream you like. I don't know unless God tells me. Amen? But we need to get to the place where we're okay and accepting and rejoicing and renewing our mind to the fact that peace is how he's going to do it. Amen? Go back with me to Colossians 3 and verse 15. Are you glad you came?
Amen.
I mean, who wants to be sitting at home in 80 degree weather when you got this nice air conditioning? I mean, this is great. Colossians chapter 3. Let me give a... You know, sometimes there's commercials when you watch TV shows. So I want to do a little commercial for Wednesday night service. This message here, if you will learn this, and you will renew your mind to this, and you'll get these principles on your heart, will absolutely save and change your life going forward. God knows every single step you need to take, and He never leads you to falter. He never leads you to stumble. He never leads you to be hurt or to have less. He has offered you the opportunity to acknowledge Him in every single thing you have. He knows every single answer to every single problem that you have, how to turn it around and fix it and get you into a better place. But you got to know how He's doing it. So what's my commercial to Wednesday night? Well, you're here and you're hearing this. And some people can't be here, and hopefully they'll listen to our live stream. But I know for a fact, there are people that will never hear this message. And a situation will come up in their life. And we know in the Bible, God just doesn't do things. He gives us His word to cooperate, then it works. And people will come up against things and say, I don't know what to do. I can't tell if it's my mind, if it's my heart, if it's my flesh. Or what it is, you're all going to know. See the value of showing up. See the value of taking this, your visitation seriously. This is an absolute gem of a message. Not the preaching, don't misunderstand me. The content of it. It's an absolute gem for you to be blessed and have your life changed, but what if you just left it in the mailbox? It would just sit in there. So again, reach around, pat yourself on the back and say, good job me. Go ahead, do it. Good job me. Praise the Lord. Colossians 3 and verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. Would you please pull that up in the Amplified Bible? The Amplified brings it out. It amplifies it. That's exactly what it does. Talking about peace being enough. Before I read this, I'll say this story Pastor Nancy told. I'll tell you, when I hear, I don't know if it ever blesses you to hear your pastor learn things and when he screws up to tell you. I mean, y'all learn now. If you learn now, I'm not perfect. Y'all know that. I mean, we're good on that. But when I hear people like Pastor Nancy and talk about correction and how God guided and directed her, it's a blessing to me. Yeah. My God, I thought that woman was perfect. I thought she never did anything wrong. I'm still convinced she doesn't. I think she lied. I don't think Pastor Michael's ever. I mean, that's the way you have high respect, you know. But they're just human just like us. And she was talking about how she was seeking God about, I can't remember what it was. It wasn't too long ago, but it was a big thing, you know. And she felt like she wasn't getting an answer. And she went to prayer. It's like, Lord, you know, I must set some time aside or whatever. You know, I'm just kind of paraphrasing, but I'm not really, I feel like I don't know what to do, you know. And she made the statement. She said, I have peace to do this. And the Spirit of God corrected her basically by saying, that's all you need. What more do you need? That's my leading. That's how I guide. That's how I direct. Through peace. Amen. So I wanted to say that before reading this verse. In the Amplified, it says, let the peace, that soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule. Now look at the parentheses. Because remember, we said the peace is supposed to rule or reign or have authority. It says that peace is to act as an umpire. Act as an umpire. Now, I'm very familiar with umpires. I played baseball, you know, and that's not the only sport that has umpires, but it's one of the main ones. And now, it's a little different now with technology and instant replay and things like that, where if an umpire gets it wrong, they can go back and look on instant replay and fix it. But back before instant replay, if the umpire said, it's one way, no matter what it looked like, no matter what you thought, no matter what you saw, if the umpire said different, that's what goes. Let me give you an example. And for this example, I'm going to use Jeff's cheating New York Yankees. I just stating the facts. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to be anything up here. I'm just telling you the truth. Cheated. In 1996, in the American League Championship Series, in Game 1 in Yankee Stadium, Derek Jeter came up to bat late in the game, and he hit a ball to right field, and a young boy by the name of Jeffrey Mayer, clearly on replay, reached down over the wall and caught the ball and pulled it back into the stands. Well, by rule, if a fan interferes, that's an automatic out. The umpires are signaling home run. Of course they are. They're in on it. The umpires are in on this with the Yankees. They're in on it. It's all big, one big fix. And they're signaling home run. And the Oriole guy's in the outfield. He's going back to catch it. And the ball's getting ready to fall in his glove. And a little kid reaches out and catches it. Pulls it in the stands. And the umpire says home run. And the Orioles are going nuts. And they're playing it on replay. And it's clear as day. He reached down and took it right from him. But there's no instant replay back then. And back then, what the umpire says, it goes. No matter what it looks like. No matter what you think. No matter what you want, no matter how it looks to you, what the umpire says, it goes. And the Bible's telling you that the peace in your heart is to be like an umpire. Well, doing what? Act as umpire in your heart, deciding and settling with finality. Finality, it's final. The ump sets the home run. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter if the whole nation can see it over and over again. Ump says it is. Settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state. It says peace is to be like the umpire. What's that mean? Whatever peace says, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what you think, if peace says something, peace is the authority. That's that. Hallelujah. Peace is the answer. Peace is enough. I have at times, what is that peace? Well, peace is that, one way I think I can show you if I remember the reference is Acts chapter 15, I believe it is. We'll find out how much I know the Bible. It is there, verse 28. Let's see here. Verse 25 and 28. We'll look at them both because they both tell the same thing. Verse 25 says, "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Saul." Verse 28. "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us." That peace is that gut instinct, that nice, tranquil feeling on the inside. The only way I can say the opposite of peace feels like a scratch. It's like this. If I said, let's go down and let's, you know, we got Reverend Greer coming in, and in the spirit of Reverend Greer's past, let's go down and hold up the super duper. Let's go. Something on the inside's not going to feel right. That scratch, that check. Well, peace is when there's no check. Now see, this is why I'm going to help you. We're at the end now. Because what people get into trouble is they say, I don't know if it's my flesh, if it's my heart, if it's my mind. And why we need to be good at developing how to hear peace and to know what peace is because there's times our head will absolutely say yes, but our spirit's saying no. And there's times when our head is saying no, and it looks terrible and looks bad, and our spirit's saying yes. And you can't go by the natural. You'll live your life on a roller coaster. Sometimes you'll hit it right, sometimes you won't. That's no way to live a life. We can be 100% all the time if we'll develop our spirit, man. So peace is that tranquil feeling, that seeming good in your heart area of yes or no. I know I've told times, you know, my stories of the dog, that one dog I got, you know. It wasn't time for us to get a dog at our house. And I was looking online at the Buffalo News, and when I logged in to go look at the Buffalo News classifieds, I had a scratch that I shouldn't look at those things. Well, I just ran right through the door of that check and called, and when I called, I had that yucky feeling. And then I really had a yucky feeling telling her that I was looking at Labrador Retrievers, because once you tell her, it's over. You can't tell them. You say it, it's done. And then we went, got doubly done and went and looked at these things. And you see a pile full of chocolate labs, and it's over. It's over when they're that little. I mean, they run around. And Violet, I just had that check. It never felt right. It never seemed good. My head wanted it. My flesh and my emotions wanted it. But inside, it was like, oh. You know, you just have that, oh, why'd I do that? Well, I swear I've never seen it before, and I've not seen it since. We not only got a dog who was part lab, this dog was part termite and part beaver, all in one. We had a termite, beaver, Labrador, retriever named Mossy. Because the molding in the windowsills in our house were all chewed to nothing when we would leave. She had separation anxiety, would mess all over the place. It just, this dog was a nightmare. And God tried to warn me. I violated that. Well, emotion was saying yes, but my heart was saying no. My head was saying no to Rhema. The circumstances were saying no to Rhema, but in here, it felt like such peace. Like warm honey. Ooh, yeah. That's what it felt like. That's all I can explain it. So that's why we better get proficient at this, because our mind and our emotions will steer us the wrong way. So if he's telling you I lead by the Spirit, we need to develop our spirit man. Because it's the spirit man, I'll say it this way. I had a guy at the house today, and he said, he was talking about a guy he used to play ball with, and he said, yeah, so-and-so said you were a pretty good ball player, and I know what to say. I looked at him. I said, well, and I meant it when I said it. I said, that's really the one thing in my life that I was halfway decent at. And he said, well, things must be going good now for you with two churches. I said, yeah, but it was the church thing that turned around all the bad stuff. And but the reason I was proficient in baseball is I spent hours swinging a ball, hitting a ball off a tee, hitting the cages, throwing a ball off a wall and fielding ground balls, going to baseball camps in Florida, going to different things and having my dad hit ground balls to me until it got dark out. And if I could get my hand on a ball and a bat, you know, and what you give yourself to, you will become proficient at. So there's the spirit man and there's the carnal man. And let's just face it, Christians are very proficient at being carnal. Right? A lot of hours in front of a television, a lot of hours just doing things, and a lot of hours at our work and doing natural things, carnal things. Not all carnal things are necessarily wrong things, but they're not spiritual things. And we spend all that time doing natural carnal exercises, which builds up our natural carnal man, while the inward man stay small and undeveloped. And remember, God's not speaking to us in the loud. He's speaking in the still, small voice to our spirits. But if everything else is loud and chaotic and commotion and it's all natural, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. So we need to develop our spirits. Let me give you three ways to develop your spirit real quick. We're not going to go look at verses on them or anything. We'll look at just one verse because it'll enlighten you. Pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. Praying in the Spirit is a spiritual activity. The Bible says that through the Spirit we mortify the deeds of the flesh. The flesh gets smaller the more we give attention to the Spirit. We need the flesh to get smaller and the Spirit to get bigger so we can be proficient in hearing and being directed by God. And so, pray lots in the Holy Ghost. Second way to do it, now this is going to upset some people, like upset your bellies. Fast and pray. Well, let's see if I can find it. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. And they heard what the Spirit of God was saying. Now, let me help you with fasting. I do encourage you to get the book, A Common Sense Guide to Fasting by Brother Hagin, because fasting is one of the most misunderstood topics in all the Bible. It's probably in the top five. Because most people fast, when fast means to abstain from food, most people fast for the purposes of trying to get God to do something for them. If I fast and give up food, if I fast my dinners, or if I don't eat on Wednesdays, it's going to impress God and He's going to do something for me. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Fasting does nothing for Him. It changes you. Now, let me give you another example. These 40-day, 21-day fasts instituted by churches are not of the Spirit. The Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and He ate nothing. He was led to do that by God, not came up with it on His own idea. Well, I'm just going to fast for 40 days. Well, you better be careful. Well, I'm just going to go without food for 21 days and fast, because that's what I heard someone else did. Not if this Holy Ghost doesn't tell you to do it. Why? Your body needs food. Yeah. And Brother Hagin's a good one to look at. He finished his course, ran his race, and he would set certain days aside to fast. And the Lord told him, instead of going whole days without food, I just would be more pleased if you'd live a fasted lifestyle. Instead of pigging out at every meal, go away from it. When he said, I'd be more impressed with that if you'd live a fasted lifestyle. And so that's what Brother Hagin did. Praise God. Live a fasted lifestyle. So many misconceptions about fasting. If you fast and don't pray, you're just on a diet. Fast and pray. Now, what does fasting do? Fasting puts your flesh under. It puts you in control. Now, it might be loud at first and give you a hard time, but if you'll press through that, the only way I can explain is this. I don't come to church on Wednesday and Sunday or Saturday or Tuesday with a full belly. I hardly eat anything on ministry days, just enough that you don't get dizzy and headaches and things like that, because the less that I eat, the more spiritually sensitive I am. And one way you can develop your spirit to learn to hear from God is to incorporate fasting into your life. And again, I'm not telling you to go on an extended fast. Don't, unless God were to tell you to do that. And I'm not telling you to take a whole day of food, but live a fasted lifestyle. Incorporate that into your life. So pray, fast. But the other one is spending much time in the Word. Hebrews chapter 4. What are these? These are spiritual exercises. You know, if you go to the gym and pump iron, naturally, you're going to grow. Well, if you go to the spiritual gym and pump some iron, you'll grow. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. People say, I don't know what it is, if it's my flesh or my mind or my heart, I don't know. Well, if you'll pray and fast and get in God's Word and do spiritual things, you'll be more sensitive spiritually. Because why? That what you give yourself to, you'll become proficient in. For the Word of God is quick, that means alive, and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But look at what it says here. It's a dividing asunder, or divides soul from spirit. Well, what is your soul? Your soul and spirit can't be the same thing because it says soul and spirit. But that's what gets mixed up. Is people say, I don't know if it's my spirit. I don't know if it's my soul. Well, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And people say, I don't know if it's my mind. I don't know if it's my feelings. I don't know if it's my heart. And they're all jumbled together. But the Bible says what the Word does is cuts a divider. And says, soul, mind, will, and emotions, you go over here. And the spiritual things, you go over here. And when there's a dividing line, it's easy to see what is what. And if you'll spend much time in the Word, much time in prayer, much time doing these spiritual disciplines, clarity will come to you. People say, I'm not hearing anything. And 5 minutes before you go to bed, you've been watching TV for 2.5 hours and running on the treadmill for 2 hours and working all day and everything. And 5 minutes before bed, you give them a little shalababa before you go to sleep. And you wonder, why aren't I hearing? Why aren't I hearing? Because you're spirit man. We're almost done. Let me just say this. So we need to develop our spirits so we can hear what peace says to us and know that it's enough. I remember praying so much in the fall of 2009 before I got direction to start this church. And I was in the Word a lot, and I was praying a lot. And that Word started a church in South Dayton. You just naturally don't do that. It's not the most ideal thing to do. And Pastor Michael knew it would be rough sailing. And he said to me, he said, Pastor Mike, he said, I know somebody was going to start a church there. I saw it in a vision years ago. He said, but I didn't know who, and I know it's going to be a great door and effectual, but the Bible also says about a great door and effectual, there's many adversaries. And I'll never forget, he said, Pastor Mike, if you feel you're the one that's called to do this, he said, make sure that you know, because he knew hell on earth was coming for the person that was going to start it. He said, make sure that you know. Well, when you hear that, naturally, and you go through those things, you can be tempted to, but I knew that I knew that I heard from God. Why? I was giving myself to spiritual things. It wasn't even a question if, did I make this up? Is it my mind? No, I knew. I knew. Going through it, I knew. I'm supposed to be here. Supposed to do this. Hallelujah. You got to give yourself to that. Now, this came up to me, and we'll close with this. I was walking the other day, and I'd never seen it like this. God says He speaks in the still, small voice. He's not in the goosebumps. He's not in the tears. He's not in the song that gave you chills. You might like the song, but that's not how He's leading you. And the song might move you, but just because you were moved, that's not God leading you. He doesn't lead through music. He doesn't lead through emotion. He doesn't lead through goosebumps. He doesn't lead through tears. He leads by the Spirit. Now, the God can speak to you in those times, absolutely, but because you got goosebumps, that was not God. Because you had tears, it wasn't God saying, do something. You got to still discern that in your heart. But he says, I speak in the still small voice. Now remember what he said in Proverbs 20:27. He said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. If this doesn't make much sense to you or doesn't register with you, throw it out. But to me, I was like, I get it, Lord, I get it. When does a candle burn the brightest and work the best? Is it when it's chaos going around and waving around and in the wind and in the rain and in all the commotion? No, a candle does best when it's left alone to just sit there and burn. Now, this is what I knew he was saying to me, that if he speaks in the still, small voice, it's like a candle, and a candle doesn't need all the commotion, the chaos. It works best when it's just left alone. We need to get quiet and get still to hear from Him. You say, give me scripture on that. Well, Psalms 46 says this, verse 10. Be still, and what's the next two words? And what? Be still and... be still and know. Be still, and the result will be what? You'll know. Be still and know. He speaks in the still, small voice. So to hear the still small voice, if I come into a room and the music's blaring and people are dancing and I'm just like, hey, could you turn that down? Nobody's going to hear it. But if they're quiet in that same room and I come in and say, hey, what's going on? Oh, hi, Pastor Mike, what are you doing? Same with God. He's not going to shout you down because He says how I do it. I lead by peace in a still small voice. Well, He tells you, be still and know. So let's do these things. So again, you might not be in a situation right now where you have decisions and things you don't know or unanswered things in your life. But you will at times, and decisions will come. What do I do? Is this the right car? Is this the right relationship? Is this the right job? Is this right for me? Wrong for me? How are you going to find out? You're going to give yourself the spiritual things, and you're going to get still and get quiet, and you're going to know. And God's going to lead you. How's He going to lead you? Through peace. If you get a word, great. If you get a vision, a revelation, an angel, great. But peace is enough. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You and praise You and glorify You tonight. We were helped tonight. Amen. And we give You the praise for it, Father. We are so glad we were here because these are the things that will spare us, that will save us. Lord, I think of all the wasted money, all the bad decisions, and looking back and thinking, my goodness, I had a scratch. I had a check in my spirit not to do that. And I ran right through it. Father, this is going to keep us safe. Lord, I pray that people's eyes would be open, that they would do what the Word says. Lord, You want to guide and You want to direct us. So we thank You, Lord, and we praise You tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as I look around the room, I know every single person here has given their heart to Jesus. But there might be somebody listening right now or listening in the future via the archives that's never accepted Jesus. And I just want to tell you that God loves you so much. He proved it by giving You His Son. And you say, why did He give us Jesus? Well, Jesus took all the sins of mankind so that we could be sinless and go to heaven and be with God. And He said the way you get to heaven is not through church attendance. It's not through having your good deeds outweigh your bad or being a generous person to charity. He said there's two qualifications you need. Number one, you got to believe in My Son. The Bible says in John 3:16, whosoever believes would not perish. So the first thing is you got to believe in Jesus. You say, what does that look like? Well, in your heart of hearts, you can say, I do believe in Him. I don't understand everything, and it seems a little weird to my mind, this whole dying and raising from the dead, but I know it's true. Somehow I know it. That's believing in Him. That's number one. The second thing is you got to call on His name. He says, I stand at the door and knock. He wants to come into your heart, but he's not rude. He's a gentleman. He won't bust that door down. He needs an invite. And so you have to call on His name. The Bible says in Romans 10, and verse 17, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. So you got to believe and call. So if you're listening tonight by live stream and you've never accepted Jesus, but you can say, I do believe He's real. All you have to simply do is say, Lord, I believe in You. Lord, I ask You right now to come into my heart. Once you do that, He comes in. He saves you. He forgives you of all your sin. Heaven is now your eternal destination. It's that simple. That's what the Bible says. And now I encourage you from this point forward, get into a Bible teaching church. Not because if you don't, you won't go to heaven or God will take back the promise of salvation, but because God has so much more for you here on this earth. He wants to be a good dad to you, but you got to find out how He operates. You got to find out how to cooperate with Him. You got to find out all that He's provided for you. And you'll do that by getting into a good Bible teaching church and hearing the Word of God. Can we just glorify Him tonight? Thank Him for our help. We're so thankful, Father, for all that You've done, for all that You've given. This stuff is priceless. We could never thank You enough, Father. I feel like I almost need to repent and say it. With what we get from You, it's not that big of a sacrifice to come here. I mean, there is things we could be doing, but in comparison to what we get, we're on the good side. We're the ones being blessed. So thank You, Father. We thank You tonight. We honor You and love You and praise You. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I sure love and appreciate all of you. Have a great rest of the week. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10. You are dismissed. There's power to bless you and set you free. I love the power. Yes, the power's for me. Oh, I believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God. It flows into the bound.
It sets the captives free. It destroys every yoke of the enemy. For there's power to save, power to heal, power to supply, and power to reveal. There's power to bless you and set you free. I love the power, yes, the power's for me. Oh, I believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God. It flows into the bound. It sets the captives free. Destroys every yoke of the enemy. Oh, I believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God. It flows into the bound. It sets the captives free. It destroys every yoke of the enemy. There's power to save. There's power to heal. Power to supply. Power of God. It flows into the bound. It sets the captives free. It destroys every yoke of the enemy. Oh, I believe. I believe in the power.
On the vine with your feet on the ground.